Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Who went in the tower? Who's been seen coming and going? It's okay when you go in, but when you come out crestfallen, you're finished. Like Giuliani went in, smiling, came out crestfallen, finished. All he can do is go to the Italian restaurant now, but it's over. You go in, smiling, thinking you're going to get an appointment, you come out like dead. So here we are in the Savage Nation. I mean, we saved the world. The fact is, we did save the world. I realize I'm only a shock jock. I recognize that I'm not an important man like, so many important people out there who are so important in their own mind. But I know I'm not important. I know I'm merely a shock jock. But, you know, I do what I can in my own way. I know that I and my audience elected Donald Trump. And in so doing, we shifted the entire axis of the earth. It's affected not only America, not only the politics of America, not only the culture of America, but the politics and culture of the world. It's all because of you, the Savage Nation. But again, I'm only a shock jock, so, you know, you don't have to take that seriously either. We have to listen to important men tell us who the important men are and the important women are. But I want to talk about more important questions than that question about us saving the world. And I would say that a very interesting question for me today is, well, this issue of fake news. What is the biggest example of fake news you have seen, let us say, in the last year? I can give you several examples of my own, but I'd rather you call in on that topic. And here's another question that I'd like to cover on. A new survey came out stating that two-thirds of Americans and the majority of Christians say that physician-assisted suicide is morally acceptable. I thought that was a very interesting article in CNS News. And it's a survey by Lifeway Research reported that 67% of Americans believe it is morally acceptable for a terminally ill patient to seek a doctor's help in ending their life, including majority of themselves Christians. I would love to hear from traditional Christians on this issue, as well as, listen to me, Orthodox Jewish people. Do you accept that as well in the Orthodox Jewish community? Is physician-assisted suicide morally acceptable to you? Now, I realize that this is something that people who have already elected to have physician-assisted suicide cannot call us because they've already died. But I'd love to hear from people who have already accepted physician-assisted suicide and what they think about it, whether they right or wrong, but I guess it's impossible. My problem with physician-assisted suicide is quite simple. In Holland, for example, and other twisted nations of the Low Countries, which has a double meaning these days, the Low Countries are now accepting physician-assisted suicide for children as young as 12 or 14 years old, I read. Like if a child is 12 and he doesn't feel good, they give him the needle now. It's crazy. You see, you got to watch out where this goes. So I would think it's a great topic, and I don't know that we've ever touched on it before, but I want to touch on it now. One, what's the biggest example of fake news? Two, physician-assisted suicide, is it morally acceptable to you? Three, we changed the world. Four, Trump voters only, are you happy with his appointment so far? Ah, now there's a good one. Trump voters only, are you happy with his appointments so far? In this mix today on this shock jock show, because don't take me seriously. I'm not a serious man. Look, after 30 books, a PhD, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame, I'm only a shock jock, so pay no attention to what I say. The really important people are to be seen on CNN, Fox News, MSNBC. These are the important ones. Even university professors. They're the most important thinkers of our time. Or actors. Leon DiCaprio, a genius in science, engineering, geopolitical things. It's guys like Leo DiCaprio. These are the true intellectual giants of our time. I and talk radio, just a mere shock jock. And so since I'm merely a shock jock, I can say whatever I want. And so I then want to talk about this as well as the above. And it's something I did first on December 15th, 1999. Would you believe this? Today is December 9th, 2016, in case you haven't checked your calendar. But on December 15th, 1999, I published an article entitled White Male Inventions. And it set off shockwaves at the time. It was called White Male Inventions, and it began like this. Trains, planes, cars, rockets, telescopes, tires, telephones, radios, television, electricity, atomic energy, computers, fax machines. All miracles made possible by the minds and spirit of men with names like Ampere, Bell, Caselli, Edison, Ohm, Faraday, Einstein, Cohen, Teller, Shockley, Hertz, Marconi, Morse, Popov, Ford, Volta, Michelin, Dunlop, Watt, Diesel, Galileo, and other dead white males. See, that was the interesting thing. Now, I realize that there's a big movement on the campus, the campuses of America now, by totally brain-dead people who never belonged on campuses to begin with. They are slaves of the communist ideology who say that white people are no good, whites are this, whites are that, white privilege. So I feel, and in my own shock jock way, I have an obligation to counter that argument. Now, don't take me seriously. What you should do is listen to the professors at colleges who tell you whites are no good, that there's white privilege, and that people of color are the people who will save the world. I would say first, before you do that, listen to me, the shock jock, and study all of the white male inventions that you're using, including why, oh, the keyboard that you're going to use to hate me. Yeah, white male invention. The computer, wait, white male invention. Wait. Wait a minute now. The electric light bulb above your head, white male invention. Wait, more. But wait a minute now. We can't change that, can we? Well, you can if you teach at Harvard. You can change it into anything you want because you're not a shock jock. You can do anything you want because you're serious. That's the opening to the show thus far. I'd rather play some rock and roll right now and talk about these topics. What is the biggest... I don't want to repeat myself. That's what's getting me upset. Instead, what I think I will do is play Charles Schumer crying while praising Dirty Harry Reid for making him the man he is today. And just think, we were one heartbeat away from seeing Schumer on the Supreme Court. Listen to this crybaby in clip number 3. This is Chuck Schumer of New York City.
He's one of the most unique men that any of us,
here we go,
will ever meet. Truly one of a kind. And I've been lucky to call him my colleague.
What's the
my
crime?
Mentor.
Are they all on meds?
Harry, I would not be the senator nor the man I am today without you.
Listen to this.
I can only say thank you from the bottom of my heart.
This is Chuck Schumer, U.S. Senator, breaking into tears.
So, folks,
while praising
it'll be quite
Barry
some
Harry.
Time until we see another like Harry Mason Reed.
Oh, thank God.
Until then, this portrait will have to do.
Oh, my God. Thank God there's only a portrait left of him in the Senate. What damage this man has done. But, you know, there's a bigger question. Are most of the senators who break down in tears, are they on medication? When have grown men, especially men in leadership positions, cried so much as over the last 8 years? One crybaby, Boehner, a crier. A man doesn't cry in public. I don't understand this. I was raised to be a man. Remember I was telling you yesterday, they're giving lessons in Russia on how to be a man? My father told me how to be a man, and one of the things he told me is don't cry in public. Number 2, don't wear shorts in public. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
The Doughy bought the movie rights to this book, a bestseller. And the main character is a guy just like me. No, I wouldn't even have to act. Just be myself. Godfather, I don't know what to do.
You can act like a man! What's the matter with you? Is this how you turn out a Hollywood Pinocchio that cries like a woman? What can I do? What is it?
Look, you spend time with your family?
Sure I do.
All right, that's pretty good. That's a great line. I loved it because it reminded me of my father. I liked that. He didn't die in a in a tomato thing, but same upbringing. Same upbringing. I was a little too sensitive for him. Yeah. So what's with Schumer crying on the floor of the Senate over Harry Reid? I don't get this. It's got to be meds, my guess. I think it's weakening an entire generation of men. That's why the country is so divided. But, you know, look, I see the hard men that Trump is supporting. It's awesome. It's awesome to see all these uniforms, and I mean real uniforms. I don't mean the Potemkin generals that Obama created overnight, the Crackerjack box generals that Obama made overnight. You know who I'm talking about. The university girls who he turned into generals. Yeah, the university boys that he made into Air Force generals and never flew an airplane. Now we got real men there. It's going to be amazing. But I don't want to talk about the crying thing. I'd rather talk. And by the way, if you're a liberal, I would suggest, here's a good stock tip for you. Speaking of crying, I was thinking about it. I want to be kind to you, progressives out there. If you want to make a good investment, invest in the company that owns the Kleenex tissue company, because there's going to be a tsunami of tears coming over the next 4 to 8 years. And I would think Kleenex stock is a very good investment for the progs out there. You're going to be weeping and weeping and weeping to see your world dissolving in front of your eyes. The world you thought you had created that was going to take over the entire world, it just crumbled in front of your eyes. And we, that is the Savage Nation audience, did it. I, the shock jock leader, we built this army of savage voters. We got Trump through the primaries. We got him through the election. And there he is. Is he perfect? No. Is he appointing everyone we want? No. Is he flawed? Yes. Is he appointing libs here and libs there? Yes. But in the area of national security, I sleep better at night already, knowing that we got the real hard men in there, the generals. I want to see more generals. I want to see more combat generals everywhere. More. I want to see uniforms. I want to feel as though I'm living in Eisenhower's time again. I loved living in Eisenhower's time. I was a little boy. I felt safe as an American. There were Nike missile batteries on my street corner. I lived in Queens in an attached house in New York. There was actually a Nike missile battery on my corner. I don't want to see Nike missile batteries, I'm saying. But you felt protected. All the science fiction movies of those days, if you look back like on The Thing, whenever like The Thing was attacking America, they always showed a picture of the Pentagon. It was all like strong generals. No one was crying over The Thing. No one was shaking, calling Wolf Blitzer to see what to do. It was an amazing country in those days. Trump very much represents the 50s again. And no one has said that, but it's true. That's why we voted for him, why we love him. It's going to be a stronger country, a better country, a safer country, a more prosperous country. And it will still be a flawed country, an imperfect country. And I think I should go back to the questions on the physician suicide. I don't know why I'm into that. I'm a little slightly on the borderline of depressed today. I'm not sure. I went to the dentist again yesterday, and it did affect me. I had an argument with the dentist in the chair. Now, you can't win that argument. See, I'm the only one who will even argue with a dentist in the chair when my mouth is wide open. Listen, this is a story worth telling. What would you do if you went to a dentist for a mere crown, and the crown broke 3 times while you're waiting for the permanent? That was number one. Now I come back for the permanent, and the secretary says to me, don't worry, you're past all the pain. Don't worry about a thing. It's going to come right off. No, it didn't come right off. It was like a classic picture of a dentist with his foot against the dental chair pulling on the plastic temp, trying to get it off, and it wouldn't come off. So it was hurting me. I said, stop it, you're hurting me. Now, to top it off, next to me were 3 people talking as loudly as they could, dental assistants, laughing, joking. It was the end of the day. I had to stop him, push him away, and say, hey, why don't you go joke somewhere else? I can't listen to this. That was number one. That was number one. They shouldn't have been in there. That's A, number one. Then he couldn't get the temporary off. That's number two. So now he has to start cutting it without anesthesia, without the injection. So I said, I don't want anesthesia. I don't want any anesthesia. I don't want any painkillers, nothing. So he said to me, you seem to know more than I do. I said, I know I have pain, and you told me there'd be no pain. So he had to do the numbing, and they had to do the injection, and this, and that. And he had to cut it, and it wouldn't come off. Even my temporary crowns are stubborn in my head. I'm a stubborn kind of personality. Even the things they put in me are stubborn. They don't come out easily. But then it was done, and it was awful. But here I am. But it leaves you a little angry. Dental work leaves you angry. I got to tell you the truth. I don't think people add up what the dental work does. It's primitive. It's a very primitive field of endeavor. I'm lucky I never became a dentist. When I was a kid, the family would always analyze the boys in the crowd. Remember I told you this? They'd look at the kids and size them up what they're good for. He'll be a good lawyer. He'll be a good doctor. He'd be a this. He'd be a that. That one could be an accountant. It was always a hierarchy in the 50s in those days. The number one thing for lower middle class people was for you to become a doctor. Then a lawyer. Then a dentist. Then a chiropractor. Then I don't know what. There was like a whole thing down the line. Me, they looked at it and they said, he'd probably make a good dentist. And I added it up. I said, did I want to look into a person's mouth the rest of my life and smell bad breath? No. No, I knew I didn't want to be a dentist. And then when my father got sick, doctors came around, and I don't know. And you talk to the doctor, because I didn't have any educated people to talk to. So I said to the guy, I'm thinking of becoming this or that. And he was a I said, I think I want to become a psychiatrist. That's right. I remember it now. Tall, thin, fairly nice-looking doctor, young man. And I said, I think I want to be a psychiatrist. You know how kids try on professions and try them out on people? They, like, say what they want to be, and they want to see the reaction. Kids don't know anything. Only in America do you see the mothers talking to children. Oh, would you like this? How? What do you think of that, son? Darling, would you like... They don't know. They have no answer. You're the parent. You're supposed to tell them what they think at a certain, up to a certain age. So as a kid, I don't know, must have been 16. And even then, I didn't know what I was talking about. I said to the doctor I wanted to be a psychiatrist, and he said to me, do you really want to listen to people's problems your whole life? Do you want to sit and listen to people cry to you about their problems? They don't know what's right and what's wrong. I never became a psychiatrist as a result. It's interesting how influential people can be to you when you're a young person. Now, that leads me back to the shock jock questions of the day. The simple questions, the ones that only I am capable of asking, because I'm a mere shock jock. It's true I've written 20 books and have all sorts of degrees, but I'm not as reliable as Jake Tapper. Now, there is a reliable source. Or if you want real reliability, go to a Harvard or a junior college to see real reliable people. They really know what they're talking about. So the questions are about assisted suicide and what's the biggest example of fake news.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, it's enough already. I don't even want to go into it. Parting shot. Obama orders probe of Democrat email hacks that rocked election. You hear this? You hear what this bum does on the way out? This is like a guy throwing a hand grenade into a house as he's leaving it. What a wonderful man this thing was, this creature. Where did he come from? I don't mean the Bertha thing. Where does a man of such low character rise to such high positions and continue to destroy America as he leaves the White House? It's amazing to me. No wonder he lost the Democrat Party lost for the next 50 years. Now, you may think, I don't want to get too political, but you say, oh, well, yeah, she really won the popular vote. You'll see in the next election. Yeah, yeah, save your Confederate money. The South will rise again. By the time Trump and the Republicans get through with you, half of these people who voted for her will be deported from the country because they didn't belong here to begin with. That's number one. And number two, I'll give you number two, three, four, and five. You want to hear more of it? Because you're going to hear more of it over the next years to come. That's all. Obama orders probe of email hacks that rocked election. Can you believe this? Next, they're going to attack Russia now. I'm going to listen to Russia. Russia did this. Russia did that. No probe of ISIS. No probe of the penetration of our security services by the Muslim Brotherhood. No, a probe of Russia. That's what we need right now. I'd rather see a probe of how many crypto-Muslim fascists are working inside Obama's administration. That's what I'd like to see. But then again, I'm only a shock jock. What do I know? I'm not a serious journalist like, oh, I don't, George Stephanopoulos. Well, Leon DiCaprio, another, he's a journalist, I think. Didn't he go to the Society of Professional Journalism School? In between running after whatever he trains, planes, cars, rockets, telescopes, tires, radios, television, white male inventions. I know you don't want to hear it. I know it's against the grain. I'm sorry. But, you know, the facts are the facts. Would we have atomic physics and electricity if it hadn't been for the ancient Greek philosophers, who, for example, had the idea that all matter consists of tiny atoms? Aristotle in the 5th century B.C., if you can even know what B.C. means, that's 25th century pre-PC, used electric charges to treat gout. Archimedes perceived the center of gravity of solids, cylinders, and spheres. I know they don't teach that in ethnic studies. But from the basic discoveries of Greek civilization, it went to the Romans, and after the fall of Rome, it passed to later Europeans who expanded on this scientific knowledge. In modern times, these ideas were developed by such white males from Europe as Volta, Ampere, Watts, Bell, Edison, and Einstein, who provided the basis for most of the technical wonders of today. All of them dreaded white males. I know they don't teach this in women's studies. Maybe you got your enlightenment from one of the Ivy League institutions of this education. Maybe they taught you that it's all the result of white racism and oppression. that every time a potential Einstein, Edison, or Ford popped up in the third world, a white hit squad would swoop down and eliminate him before he had a chance to prove himself. Or maybe their schools refused to teach him in the language of the day. Maybe they didn't have proper daycare facilities, or maybe our would-be innovator came from a dysfunctional family. But the facts tell us that many of the great men pursued their genius at great personal risk, like the astronomer Galileo, who proved that the Earth revolves around the sun. He and other men of genius and courage refused to be suppressed, even if it meant their lives. They would permit no race, gender, group, or class to keep them from their pursuit of truth and excellence, whatever the cost. And just remember this, all of you psychos on the left. If you eliminate, suppress, or debase the white male, you will kill the goose that laid the golden egg. If you continue to ace him out with affirmative action, exile him from the family, teach him that he's a blight on mankind, then bon voyage to civilization. We will devolve into a third world cesspool. Where has there ever before in history been a group of human beings who have brought about the likes of the Magna Carta, the U.S. Constitution, and the countless life-saving and life-improving inventions that we now enjoy? Now, I'm a student of history. It is certainly true that China did lead the world in technology and commercial inventiveness about 1,000 years ago. They had great coal mining operations, gunpowder, six-masted sailing ships, and intense commercial enterprise. But it all collapsed because the elites, the long-nailed mandarins, centralized control 1,000 years before Mao Zedong and crushed the expansion and inventions. Does this mean we should sit back and let ourselves be governed by someone just because he's a white male? Of course not. It means simply that we shouldn't suppress anyone, including white males. Let our God-given gifts run free in a free and just society, free from the oppression and tyranny of social engineers. If anyone has gifts beyond our own, be he a white male or other, be grateful. Maybe we have gifts that in some small way can contribute something of value as well. Just remember this, we're all in the same boat. We're all on the same planet. Few of us have truly outstanding gifts. And most of us have to humbly accept that there are others around us who are more gifted than we are. In a democratic society, it's not for big brother or big sister to decide who shall thrive and who shall struggle in the hive. And that, my friends, is all I have to say on that matter. Now let's go back to the questions of the day on the Savage Nation. KBOI, Lisa Line 6, what's your topic? Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage, I'd like to address a physician-assisted suicide. I used to be very against it. I had no idea how anyone could ever support that, and then I got into the medical field. Today I'm a nurse, and having been in a nursing home and seeing how some of these patients suffer day in and day out over the months and years, I think that if they choose that they want to pass away painlessly, they should have that right.
It's an interesting question, which is why I raised it. I have always opposed it, but after the dentist visit yesterday, I'm not sure I oppose it.
Right.
I'm serious. Look, if I even had minor pain in a dental chair, I can't imagine what it would be like, God forbid, for anyone to suffer the pain of cancer. I don't know how they can take it. I don't know how they can take it. And because I don't think there are drugs that are sufficient to kill all the pain of all cancers. Are there or aren't there today?
No, and it depresses me.
You know, years ago, I read that there was a Brompton's mixture, a cocktail, I believe, of heroin and cocaine and some other drugs that did suppress any pain, no matter what level it was, but that it was illegal in America. Is that still true?
I know that there are drugs that can completely get rid of pain, but due to the negative side effects, it wouldn't be worth taking it. You may as well just...
What are the side effects of such painkillers?
Death. You basically will be sitting there in a coma. You will be a living corpse, essentially. You'll have your vital signs.
So there's no way to suppress pain below a certain threshold without turning you into a corpse when it's at the level of severity, let us say, of stage 4 cancer?
Yeah, correct.
Oh, God.
That's what I have seen. And it's miserable. It's very depressing. I think this subject is something for someone to say we should...
Is this a depressing subject? Should I not do it today? Should I just stop it?
Huh?
You think this is a worthless topic? Should I not do it? It's depressing people?
No, I think when you're on your own deathbed and you want to die, but they won't let you, it'll be a very valuable topic.
No, I'm not going to be on my... What do you mean? You mean me personally or when someone is?
Someone. A person.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you didn't personalize it. I'm not ready for that position yet.
Right.
Okay, Lisa, let's cheer you up a bit. I got, what are you working, a cancer ward?
I work in a nursing home.
Oh, they're, don't get me reminded of that. Oh, mm-hmm. I watched my mother in one. Oh, my God, it's not a pretty thing. But what's the, I mean, what do you, you know, here's the options in America. What are the options? Either you live long or you don't live long. So if you don't live long and you drop dead of a heart attack when you're young, what? So you're devoid of pain. So then if you keep yourself alive, what do you got to look forward to? Endless pain in a nursing home staring at a curtain and you can't move? And you sit, stay, they push you next to a curtain in a corner by yourself?
Yeah, that's about it.
That's nice.
On right. Your motivation.
Yeah. All right. Well, then the Vikings had the smart way out. They had the boat with the fire on it. Viking funerals are starting to look more appealing to me as I think about it. You know, the boat, the fire, I push it out into the lake with Rothko was a painter. Ratke from Vikings. All right, Lisa, I'm going to send you something to cheer you up, Teddy and me. But even that's depressing when I think about it. It's a great book, but Teddy's gotten older since the book was published, and he doesn't look too good, and he's coughing. It's like, he's like, because he's got a leaky heart valve now. It's awful. It's a way of all flesh. What are you going to do? You remember them when they're young, jumping over fences? Lassie, young, the eyes are sparkling. The last scene is them laying in a field with the light going out of their eyes. Very nice. I think I'm going to bum everyone out today and break people into tears. They'll become Charlie Schumer's. By the time I'm through with this show, people are probably going to call their psychiatrist to reach for a Prozac. And maybe my inner mood is coming out. I don't know what it is. What is it? It's around the holidays are doing this to me? The seasonal affective disorder? The dental work? The anesthesia? The needle? The election is over and there's this horrible thing ahead of us? Nothing? A disaster? When is he going to drain the swamp? I want him to drain the swamp. And he's doing a good job on the general thing with the national security and homeland security. But it's odd to me, and I shouldn't say it, but I don't know. The swamp looks like it got a little higher in some areas, not lower. When you look at some of them. Like the guy for labor secretary, whatever his name is. I know he's against the minimum wage, but I hear he's also in favor of H-2B visas for cheaper labor. I thought we were going to get rid of the H-1B and H-2B visas. If I wake up tomorrow and find out that Zuckerberg is in the elevator, if I next time, and they will, I guarantee you, now I'm going to wake up tomorrow, there's going to be the elevator again. You know the picture now? Everyone wants to be, it's the hottest ticket in town. It's not a play on Broadway, it's the elevator. The tower, to get into the tower and be seen going into the elevator. The other day, Leon DiCaprio, the man spit on Trump, put him down, cursed him, said he was the worst thing since Hitler. Now he goes in the elevator and comes out a happy man. So now I think the next I'll see is the titans of Silicon Valley will go in. All of the pirates of Silicon Valley will be going in and lobbying for H-1B visas to make sure they keep bringing people from India who work for half the price of American workers. How does that drain the swamp? Draining the swamp would be to break up Facebook, break up Google, break up Amazon as monopolies. That would be draining the swamp. Giving people a chance to compete with them, right? I don't know. Not when I see all those guys from GS. And I'm not talking about Gulfstream. No, siree, Bob. I mean, I know they know money. I know they know how to manipulate currencies. That's terrific. Who else are you going to hire? A banker from Utah? And I'm not putting down a banker from Utah. But if you were to pick a treasury secretary, who are you going to pick? A homeless guy? A banker who runs a regional bank in Nebraska? Of course you pick one of the sharks in Wall Street. They're the only ones who know what they're doing. They're wizards with money. That's why we have a $2 trillion. What's the debt now? I don't even know the debt anymore. It's like a clock that's running. And it's endless. What about the national debt? What's Trump going to do about that? Is he going to stop printing money? Is he going to run in the Federal Reserve? Is Yellen the Yenta going to go to run a delicatessen in Queens? Where is she going? Is he going to keep the Yenta or is he going to put in a new one? These are the important things, is the money supply. But then again, we're all doing better than we did mostly, when you think about it. Who's actually doing worse? I mean, well, the truth is, you're not supposed to say it's terrible and you look over your shoulder. But all the guys who complain it's terrible are usually making fortunes in the media. Oh, it's terrible, the world's coming to an end. Yeah, right. Right, they're all doing terrible. They're living in a cardboard box under a freeway ramp before they come to the TV camera, right? We will drain the swamp of corruption. Okay, I'm waiting for that swamp level to go down. So far, it's gone up. It's like we heard that global warming is making the ice shelf melt. And as a result, the sea level's rising. Of course, it hasn't risen even a centimeter in the last century, the last I checked. In fact, my tide charts, which go back 50 years, are the same on San Francisco Bay for the last 50 years. But don't tell that to the people in the ivory towers who never go out on the bay. I love all the global warmers never go on the bay. They're afraid of water. It's hydrophobia. I think most people who are in global warming are suffering from a form of hydrophobia. Maybe they were bitten as a child by a dog who was rabid. They're afraid of water. They never go to bay. The former mayor of San Francisco, for example, born here, never went on the San Francisco, was never on a ferry, never went on the bay. He lives in the San Francisco Bay Area, but most of the mayors here have never been on the water. I think they all have hydrophobia.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Let me explain something to you. I mean, the best I can. I'm going to try my best. I'm not a journalist. And I'll have to struggle. I mean, my higher degrees will help me to a certain extent, and my limited IQ may be called upon. I realize I can only grope, not really think the way people like Jake Tapper and Wolf Blitzer can, and the greats, the great minds of our time. I do the best I can, so let me struggle, if I might, and explain to you where we are as a society and why Trump won. Now, don't tell me about the popular vote versus the other vote, please. Just remember how many illegal aliens Obama flooded into this country in the last 8 years. Now, take away those millions of people. Now, in that quotient, take away the people who don't work for a living, who voted, those who pay no taxes, who voted. Now reduce it to those who actually pay taxes, and you'll see that Trump won by a landmile amongst those who are productive citizens. We are living, after 8 years of Hussein, we are living through the equivalent social chaos that the Germans experienced in the Weimar Republic and pre-Hitler Germany before 1933. We don't hear about this from anyone. We have the same radical political leadership that caters to pornographers, drug dealers, perverts, foreign immigrants, foreign competitors. It disdains church, family, fathers, mothers, children, and children and decency. Believe me, there is no essential difference between Obama and the leadership of the Weimar Republic. It's the same mentality, the same diseased mind that had come back to haunt us again. And I will go on with more about Weimar once again, right here on the Savage Nation, struggling as we must to figure it all out.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Each day that I awake, my mind goes in many directions at once. Every time before he takes his first step, he realizes he can take many different paths. It's the same in talk radio. Or if you're an artist and you sit down in front of your easel and you got all the colors and all the colors you can mix and you have the blank canvas, you can go in any direction. If you're not painting a John Nagy followed by the numbers painting, or doing commercial art, you can go in any direction imaginable. Whatever comes up from inside, you can just go down that road. You don't even know what you're going to do. Talk radio is similar and different. It's similar in that I have a palette in front of me. I have paints in front of me. I have ideas in front of me. I've laid some of them out. And now it may be time to move on. In the first hour, I've talked about physician-assisted suicide. It's now suddenly become morally acceptable to a large percentage of people, including Christians. I thought that was interesting. I have talked about what is the biggest example of fake news. I have read to you white male inventions. I had touched on the Weimar Republic, that we've lived through and are living through the Weimar Republic once again under Obama. Now, I could pick up any of those topics, or you can pick up any of those topics. Actually, I started the show by playing Charles Schumer crying on the floor of the Senate while praising Harry Reid for making me the man I am today. I thought it was an embarrassing moment to see a grown man with big feet cry like that. I mean, I could see crying over a loss of life or a loss of family, not crying over a Dirty Harry leaving and opening, taking down a portrait of Dorian Reed, taking the rag off the painting. Harry Reid is crying over you. You thought it was John Glenn he was crying over, a great American hero. No, Harry Reid was in tears over. Whatever. So any of those topics is good if you want to talk about it. How about this I can do? I can do immigrants and epidemics, but I don't know. I could talk about euthanasia if you want. That's a good one. But I want to get back to the Weimar Republic for a minute and then move on. I don't think anyone's going to call on it because I've noticed something interesting during this election cycle and even the post-election cycle and the transition cycle. No one's talking about the culture. There's almost no mention of cultural topics or issues. Have you heard anyone, even in the Trump team, talk about abortion or pornography or the drug epidemic? I haven't heard it. We heard about the drug epidemic during the campaign. That came up, you know, for a little while when he's in New Hampshire because they're suffering greatly from an epidemic of overuse of OxyContin because of the evil people in the Oxy business, mainly the drug manufacturers who should be in prison for life. I think I want to do a whole show on who they are. Not that it'll matter. They own the government, so what's the difference? They've been fined 100 times, but they're still in business making the most dangerous drug on the planet. The drug company that makes Oxy, they're criminals in my estimation. If they go in the tower, I'm finished. That's the end of it. If I see an unnamed white male with like gray hair going in the tower and I say, who's that? And it turns out he owns the OxyContin drug company. That's it. I'm finished. I'm out. I'll retire the next day. I'm going to quit. I'll move to Florida and just do watercolors of seagulls or of pelicans or something. I'll do 100 paintings of pelicans flying over the ocean in a single file. I'll do my equivalent of, I'm going to make a mistake now. I always mix the two up. Who was the artist? Was it Monet or Manet who did the same picture over and over again of water lilies? I don't remember. I think it's Manet, right? I think Manet. I'm going to take a chance. Yeah, it was Manet, I'm pretty sure. That was an odd time in French impressionist art. Imagine two guys competing with each other and had such similar names, separated only by one initial, one letter. Hi, I'm Mr. Ma. Who? Are you Ma? What if you said the wrong A? What if the guy was Monet and you said, hello, Mr. Manet? He'd kill you with a paintbrush. He'd poke your eye out. Or if you were Mr. Manet and he said, Mr. Monet, I can't imagine what it must have been like to be in cafe society in those days. No, but if I see the owner of the pharmaceutical company who makes Oxy going into the tower, the elevator, that's it, I'm out. I'm leaving talk radio. I won't stay in the business. Well, I don't know. Why does it affect me if he goes in the tower? What do I care? Well, because it means a total hypocrisy at that point. It's bad enough Leon DiCaprio went into the elevator, but I understand it. I can understand triangulating fools like him. I mean, if De Niro goes in, I'm going to get upset. Mr. Punch you in the nose. He'll be in the elevator with Scorsese. Him and Marty Scorsese easily will be in the elevator soon. The whole Hollywood. Next, it'll be Barbara Streisand. Funny Girl will be in the elevator, zipping up. Right into the elevator. They all want to be there. They're such hypocrites. They go where the power and the money is. 2 weeks ago, before the election, they were dying, leaving the country, this and that. Now they're dying to get into the elevator. They have their PR agents trying to get them into the elevator. That's a great scene, man, that elevator scene. That's some movie. It's like The Wolf of Wall Street, but better. Whoever saw an incoming president have a tower of his own with an elevator where people could be seen going in, seen coming out of the elevator, seen going in with a smile, seen coming out with a broken face. Giuliani went in smiling, chest held out. Now he's like broken. Now he's back in Real's having a spaghetti and meatball job. That's all that's left for him. Imagine that. He's almost became Secretary of State and then he blew it by lobbying for it. That's a horrible thing. That's something he's going to have to live with forever. Awful. The tower. It's like the London Tower where if you say the wrong thing, they threw you off the London. similar to the London Tower. The analogy, if you did the wrong thing, the king had you thrown off the tower. It's very similar. This whole thing with the tower, maybe I thought of buying a... I should have bought that apartment in the tower when I could have. I actually thought of buying an apartment in Trump Tower before he even ran for office. Would you believe it? I was so bored of living in San Francisco. I actually looked at an apartment in Trump Tower. Imagine that. I only bought it. But you still go in and out. But you're nobody if you just live there. You have to be seen going in, having been invited to be somebody, right? Like the man who called him every name under the sun, lied about global warming, and is invited in that town. Now, that's a story. That's a story to be told. That's the tower. But then I touched on the cultural issues. There are no cultural issues being discussed by the transition. Have you seen anyone discuss the transition? In the transition, discuss any cultural problems that society has right now? We're living through you talk about the swamp. We know about the swamp of corruption in Washington. That's a given. How about the social chaos that we are experiencing after almost a decade of the swamp creature in the White House? We have the same radical political leadership that caters to pornographers, drug dealers, perverts, foreign immigrants, many of them criminals, foreign competitors, an immigration, an administration that disdains church, family, fathers, mothers, children, and decency. The same thing that the Germans experienced in the Weimar Republic and pre-Hitler Germany before 1933. The same mentality, the same diseased mind is haunting us again. It seems to me that American justice, in America rather, I think of justice is not only blindfolded, she has been castigated altogether. A perverted masquerade where the rich are innocent even when proven guilty, and average Americans are guilty with no money to prove their innocence, and their rights are mocked and their values are the brunt of filthy humor. When this kind of disease appears on Earth, nature usually follows it by the opposite. When the world order collapses this way, what happens? What inevitably follows this kind of decadence, I ask? Simply that at some point, anarchy and social decay are followed by tyranny and oppression, as they were in Weimar Germany. But unlike in Weimar, today we pride ourselves that we have a good economy and delude ourselves that it can't happen here. I can give you one example after another. But unlike any president in history, Obama has pushed hatred, envy, and suspicion wherever he went, while feigning compassion and understanding. But behind the smiles, the finger wagging, and promises, there was only arrogance, corruption, and deceit. Need we follow? Wasn't one Weimar enough? I'm Michael Savage, and I approve of my monologue. But now let's go back to the topics that I raised originally when I return, right here on Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Meltdown of the West, basically. And we're wondering whether Trump can save it in time. I mean, in plain English, that's what it comes down to. It wasn't just about economics and immigration. It was also about a cultural rot of the West. And so I was thinking that we've gone from Rotterdam to Rottendam in one progressive generation. From Hottentots to Hotshots. From the Wright brothers to the Spite brothers. From Commander-in-Chief to Commander-in-Grief. From a Navy secretary to a gravy secretary. From fire chief to lady thieves, from bums to homeless, from immigrants to gimmigrants. You get the drift, don't you? But I haven't heard any discussion of cultural issues in the campaign or the post-campaign. Certainly there are cultural and social issues that we need to talk about other than the economy and immigration, right? And I think that that's worthy of talking about. So one of the topics we're talking about today is euthanasia, in plain English. Suddenly it's acceptable. I woke up and suddenly, yes, 67% of Christians now, they'll take the needle. They'll take the needle all of a sudden. It used to be wildly opposed. Now, there's another great reason to oppose euthanasia, by the way. Don't be, suckered in so easily. If you're a handicapped person, even mildly handicapped, you might be subject to euthanasia under this oppressive thing called socialized medicine / Obamacare. They may say that it's not worth taking care of you, that your lifestyle or your quality of life is diminished, and guys like Singer, the so-called ethicist, who used to advise President Clinton, will say, yeah, you know what, we should terminate that person's life because we know more than them. In fact, Rahm Emanuel's brother said that not too long ago. Don't you remember that? He also took the ride in the tower. Not the brother, but Rahm was in the elevator. I think the brother, too, the agent from Hollywood took the tower job. Rahm was in the tower. The other brother was in the tower. I don't know about the assisted suicide brother doctor was in the elevator yet. I don't know. Did he make the ride? The tower ride? The London Tower? That has become the Trump Tower? The elevator. You get in, whoosh. How you look going in and how you look going out are two different things. But two of the Emanuel brothers took the ride up that elevator. But now, I mean, they talked about euthanasia. Robin on WSBA Radio, line 5. Go ahead, please. What's your topic on the table? 5. What's on your mind, sir? Robin, go ahead.
I'm a woman. Hi, Michael. I'm a big fan. And at this time, I have two quick comments. I'll start with one. Is a couple months ago, you talked about mysticism, and you talked about the opposites. Do you remember?
No, but remind me. I don't remember, no.
Okay, you talked about how everything has its opposite. So whatever human negative quality or thing that's happening, there's something on a spiritual realm happening that's the opposite.
Okay, so what's your point?
My point is, first of all, thank you. I've read and heard about that concept before, but listening to you and the way you talked about it has actually made a big difference in my life. And I've heard it through you in a new way.
But I don't understand what you're meaning. Well, I mean, I have at the moment radioheimers. I don't quite remember this conversation.
Okay, so it was about 2 months ago, and you were talking about mysticism, and you said how we have an animal soul and the spiritual soul.
Okay.
And the animal soul always has the opposite in the spiritual soul.
Well, they're vying for control over our being, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, in a mystical sense, yes, there's a spiritual side and an animal side, and they're always sort of competing with each other for control of the being.
Well, the way you described it has helped me, like, if I'm in a negative place, and I remember Michael Savage said there's an opposite. And
okay, so give me an example of how that helped you. I don't follow exactly where you're coming from.
Okay, let me think.
As long as it helped you, it doesn't matter. What are you saying? What, you were torn to do something bad, and then you remembered that there's a spiritual side, and you let that dominate? Is that more or less what you're saying?
Yeah. Or if I was feeling a lot of fear and negativity about something and going in that direction, and then remember...
Well, you were thinking of eating a piece of strawberry shortcake, and instead you thought about the positive of eating an apple, to make it simple.
But the thing is, it's that... feels like the truth when I didn't, like, when I'm in that negative place, that feels like the truth. That feels like that's all there is.
Yeah, but how do you tap into the other side when you're in that negative place? How do you not let the negative side how do you not let the animal side of you take over?
I remind myself, this is not all there is.
Okay, but how do you empower the spiritual side of yourself? Do you read the Bible? Do you go out and pray to God? Do you hug a tree? Put water in a bird feeder? What do you do?
I do a lot of things. I study the Torah.
All right, so you're Jewish, so you know about the difference between the Yetzer Hara, the bad side and the good side.
Yes, and the way you described it, with all the reading I've done, helped me.
You're telling me that no rabbi taught you about the two sides, the Yetzer Hara and the other side? The good side and the bad side?
I have a wonderful rabbi. They have taught me. But to really take that information and really be able to use it on a daily basis and access it is quite challenging.
All right, but what are the tricks to remember that when you really need to remember it, when you're tempted to do something that you know is morally wrong, let's say? Let's be very clear what the Yetzer Hara is. When you want to do something morally wrong and you know it's wrong, what do you do to tap into that other side and put you in the other direction?
Tricks are because over time, it becomes more and more something I remember.
All right. Well, you know, some people have different techniques. Some run around the block. Some take vitamin C. Some pray. There are many, many things you can do. I'm glad it was helpful to you. I really am. But I'd rather not go down that road because I'm not a spiritual person. I'm only a shock jock. I have no higher power. Only people like Wolf Blitzer and Jake Tapper have higher knowledge.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, let's lighten up a little bit here. Assisted suicide, death of a nation, Weimar Republic, play the music, what the heck.
Time to free, remember the meaning of romance.
Nah, it has no meaning. No love left. The world, love is dead. I'm sorry. I think love died in America. Let's hear the music and see if it still makes sense. Poop.
Who wrote the book on love?
Nah, cynical.
Baby,
took a sneeze in the night now. With the hookup sites and the dolls and the... What? I don't know how anyone meets and gets married. It must be murder to be young and looking for a mate in this sick society. Luckily, Robert got married. He was one of the last through the keyhole. Young guy, got married, have a family. Now, if you go back to the beginning of history, to the beginning of the history of this earth, going back to space and time, going back to God himself, to the Big Bang Theory, or the theory of divine creation by God, the beginnings of life, the age of fishes, the age of the coal swamps, the age of reptiles, the first birds, the first mammals, the age of mammals, monkeys, apes, and submen, the Neanderthals and the Rhodesian man, the first true men. If I go back to the beginnings of cultivation, primitive Neolithic civilizations, if I go back to early Egypt and Sumeria, primitive nomadic peoples, if I talk with you about the first seagoing peoples, Egypt, Babylon, Assyria, the primitive Aryans, the last Babylonian Empire, the Empire of Darius the First, if I speak with you of the early history of the Jews, of priests and prophets of Judea, of the Greeks, of the wars of the Greeks and Persians, of the splendor of Greece, of the Empire of Alexander the Great, or of the Museum and Library of Alexandria, of the life of Gautama Buddha, of the life of King Ashoka, of Confucius and Lao Tzu, of Roman history and Roman Carthage, the growth of the Roman Empire between Rome and China, if I speak with you of the common man and his life under the early Roman Empire, if I speak with you of the early days of Jesus and the development of doctrinal Christianity, if I tell you of the barbarians and how they broke the empire into East and West, and I speak with you then about the Huns and the end of the Western Empire, and if I then speak with you about the Byzantine and the other empires and then bring you into the dynasties of Sui and Tang in China and Muhammad and Islam, and then go to the great days of the Arabs, and then I speak with you of the development of Latin Christendom and the Crusades in the age of papal domination, and I speak with you of the Mongol conquests, and afterwards the revival of the Europeans, the reformation of the Latin Church, the Emperor Charles V, the age of political experiments, the new empires of the Europeans in Asia and overseas, and if I then speak with you of the American War of Independence and the French Revolution, and the restoration of monarchy in France, and the uneasy peace in Europe that followed the fall of Napoleon, if I speak with you of the Industrial Revolution, the development of modern political and social ideas, if I then speak with you of the expansion of the United States and the rise of Germany to predominance in Europe, the new overseas empires, the European aggression in Asia, the rise of Japan, the British Empire, the age of armament in Europe, the new order in Russia, the League of Nations, the failure of the League of Nations, the Second World War, the rise of Nazism, the fall of Nazism, the crisis that humanity has faced since World War II, what would I be speaking with you about? I'm Michael Savage, shock jock, tracing the best I can the history of mankind since the age of the Big Bang Theory. I realize it's not as good as that of CNN or MSNBC. I realize it is not up to the level of Fox News or NBC or MSNBC, but I do the best I can, struggling as I can, to put things together for you, the deplorables out there in deplorable land. WYAB in Mississippi, Terry Line 5, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mr. Savage, you are so much more than a shock nation. You're the light of millions and millions of viewers that listen to your show every day. Anderson and Williams and all of them at CNN, they're nothing. I don't even watch CNN. I can't even watch it anymore. I guess I'm
well, I do the best I can with my limited abilities. I try my best to come up to the minimal standards of a mere shock jock.
What you do?
To keep my audience listening to radio. It's merely for ratings and nothing else. They're the ones who are serious. You've got to turn to Anderson Cooper for the real news because he wears fake glasses to make him look serious. I mean, these are the serious journalists of our time. They've led America right into the twilight of our years as a civilization. But they're the important ones. You got to understand that. I get what you're saying, but you know, sarcasm has its limits. And even I have my limits. Even my sarcasm has its limits. And I think I've exceeded the limits of my own sarcasm, is what I'm trying to say on this Rock and Roll Friday. I really like that poem just now, The History of the Earth. People say, what did he just do? Where did he get that from? How did he do that? What was that? Was that a speeding bullet? Where can I get that? Did you write it somewhere? Is it available somewhere? No. But someone will steal it as sure as I'm sitting here and post it on YouTube, and I'll have my lawyer try to tell them to take it down, which they will not do. But that's the way the world is. You just put it out there and you sort of puff the magic dragon. There it is. What would you like to talk about? Assisted suicide? I don't know. You know, like we had the election. We saved the world. I got Trump through the primaries. I helped elect him in a big way, probably the most important of all people in the media. And I don't need the next guy to say, yes, you did or no, you didn't. I know the facts. You know the facts. He won by the slimmest of majorities. I was the slimmest of majorities. I did it. I'm just telling you what happened. And as a result of that, we've changed. We moved the earth on its axis. And we're living with it right now. We're happy in many ways. We feel good in many ways. But fundamentally, there's been no change in America. How could there be? He's only a transitional leader. He hasn't taken the reins of power yet. But we're still suffering through the indignities of what Obama has and is doing to us. Obama is still trying to kick the door down as he leaves the highest office in the world. He's still going to sue us on nothing. Unbelievable to me. And here you see all of the people behind the scenes fighting Trump before he even began. Bloomberg and Murdoch warning against mass deportation. Can you believe this? Now, why would Bloomberg warn against mass deportation? Why would a billionaire like him, who hates soda, do that? Why would Murdoch warn against mass deportation? What's his business? He doesn't have enough power and money? What does he care? Why would Murdoch stand in the way of the Eddie recovering his nation? Why do these big business lobbies oppose mass deportation? I'll let you figure it out. The question has the answer in it. Big business lobbies are warning Donald Trump against mass deportation. The answer is in the statement. They're business lobbies. Murdoch, who owns newspapers, radio stations, newspapers, magazines, movie companies, right? He doesn't want mass deportation because it's bad for his business. Why would Bloomberg, a billionaire like Bloomberg, oppose it? Why would he oppose mass deportations? You have to ask yourself those questions, don't you? Many of us want mass deportations. People are very frustrated in this country. It didn't change because Trump got elected. It will change when the elected Trump does what he was elected to do. Right? Not just because he got elected. Now he has to deliver on his promises. That's in the old phrase, that's when the rubber meets the road. Otherwise, what was the point of electing him? I'm glad he put Kelly in. I'm glad he put in Mattis. I'm glad it looks like he's putting in hard men in these important positions. But I'm afraid that the whole election hinged on one or two campaign issues, and those were immigration and stopping the Muslim hordes from coming in here, especially from nations like Syria, without any vetting. We see what the Muslims are doing in Europe. You think there is no rape epidemic? Sweden is lost. Sweden is gone. It's been conquered. Take a look at Sweden right now and you'll see what's going on. You'll not believe with your own eyes what happened as a result of the stupid liberals and what they did to Sweden. Look at what Merkel did. She's a criminal. Merkel brought in 1 million Muslims. Do you know that women in Germany are afraid to go out in the streets at night? Ask them. Ask Germans what's going on. Don't ask Wolf Blitzer. Don't ask CNN or NBC to tell you what's going on over there because of Merkel's insanity. Merkel is a war criminal. She brought in 1 million Muslims who would destroy German culture, destroying the society. And we know what's going on here. We saw the handwriting on the wall. And we elected a man to stop it. Will he stop it, though? Or we're going to let Bloomberg and Murdoch tell us what this country should look like. Let them go live in Berlin. Let Bloomberg the shrimp go over there and ride an elevator in a subway in Germany before he shoots his mouth off and tell us how to run this country. But I didn't even want to go there today, but I had to get there because I see what's going on. I see the influences already on the man on the top of the tower. I see what's happening. I see which way the wind is blowing. Call on WABC. Let's take some callers on this Rock and Roll Friday. Cole, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hello, Doc. Yeah, I'm one of your 30-year-old Eddies. You know, I've been listening for a few years now. I agree with pretty much everything you say, and I agree with what you say about marijuana, but I still do it anyway. Does that make me immoral?
No. No, it has nothing to do with morality. First of all, I'm not sitting in moral judgment of anybody. Let me start with that statement. I oppose the wide-scale propaganda campaign being used to push marijuana upon people in the world, not for moral reasons, but for medical reasons.
Yeah.
Because you're destroying your health is what you're doing. You're not only weakening your mental powers, but you're destroying your very health itself, the health of your body itself. I mean, you know and I know that any drug is going to diminish your powers, right? I mean, whether it be alcohol or drugs, marijuana, it's not giving you a stronger ability to survive in the world, is it?
No, I kind of just use it instead of drinking coffee in the mornings. You know, I get up early and I don't drink any coffee, so kind of do that. I have an hour and a half ride to work, so it kind of keeps me, you know, in the zone.
Yeah, it keeps you subdued.
Yeah.
And the problem is that you will be subdued your entire life. You have to feel what's going on in the world in order to change your own life. You have to let the world in to know what you're feeling in order to change your life. Forget the world for a minute, Cole. Cole has to know what he's feeling in order for Cole to say, I can't take it anymore. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to do this or that. I've got to get out of here. I can't take another minute of it. Whether it's serving a sandwich in a deli to people who you can't stand, you know, with a hairnet on. Whatever you may be, let's say it's a menial job you go to. I'm not knocking it. People have to do a lot of things to survive. But maybe you reach a point where you can't take another minute of it. You have to reach that point of not being able to take another minute of it to walk out on it, Cole. And that requires dealing with it cold. Cole, thanks for the call. I'm going to give you an example without being specific about it because I can't. Years ago, I had a job for a major corporation. This is before radio. It was in another city. It was a very good job. It was a very high-paying good job. And I only traveled to this corporate headquarters 1 week a month. I didn't like it, but I had to do it to keep the job. And the other 3 weeks a month, I was a consultant living at my home in San Francisco in the Bay Area. Well, I thought that this party would go on forever. And then one day, the CEO of the company hired his 27-year-old son to run the company. The kid was an idiot. He was a know-nothing, not because he was 27. He was a dumb 27-year-old. He called me in his office and he said, you're no longer going to be able to commute from your home in San Francisco. You're going to have to move your whole family to this city. Moreover, you're going to have to do this, that, and the other thing to keep your job. I went back to my desk and I thought about it. And within 1 hour, I went to the lawyer in the company and I said, write up the papers of termination. Let's work out an agreement. I'm leaving. I'm not keeping this job. Because I saw ahead. I knew I couldn't work with this kid. I knew I'd wind up just very unhappy or something terrible would happen to me. Inside, I would die. I saw the whole future ahead of me in that company. Do you know that I gave up at that time a $500,000 stock option? I gave up a $500,000 stock option. I'm talking about a very long time ago. We're talking about 25 years ago. That was big money then. Did I have something waiting for me? No, I didn't. And you say, well, you're crazy. You just walked out? I walked out. I had faith in myself. I had faith in the future. But moreover, I knew I couldn't do it. And I think that every man has to come to a point in himself when he knows he can't go on with something he is laboring with. Okay? And let's leave it at that. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
I'm not in the mood for it. It just sounds terrible. Chris on WABC. What's on your mind, Chris, on WABC?
Hey, Dr. Savage, I just want to tell you, don't give up on love out there. Love ain't dead. I'm a 36-year-old guy. I'm married for 12 years. I got four kids. Me and my wife are trying to bring them up the right way.
All right. Well, there you go. You're the Eddie. You're still in love with the future.
I'm a deplorable, not a dependable like them other guys.
Let me ask you something. Do you think that Trump's going to do the right thing?
I think so, yes. I feel it in my heart. I feel it in my gut.
Then do you think that he can turn America around after all the wreckage that we're facing here after the 8 years of this progressive lunatic?
I know he can. I know he can. Without a doubt, Savage.
Beautiful. I'm sending you Teddy and Me, the dog book, for your kids, okay? It's a lovely book. That's all. I don't know. What do you want to talk about on the... Oh, I want to do this for you, right. Only a minute left. God, how this happened. All right, michaelsavage.com, home of the Savage Nation, right side. Geert Wilders found guilty of hate speech for calling for fewer Muslim immigrants. Can you imagine if Hillary had won? Do you realize that I probably would have been arrested? You don't know how close we came to losing the country. Hillary Clinton was on the path to doing what Angela Merkel has done, what all the other fascists have done in Europe, banning free speech under the guise of humanitarianism and whatever they want to call it. Look what they just did to him. Michael Savage newsletter. I'm sleeping better after Trump's security picks. Trump's stock market rally continues to shatter record books. Illegal immigrant accused of killing two in hit and run had been deported 8 times. Fact challenge Brian Williams whines about fake news. Bob Dole helped Taiwan with Trump contacts over a 6-month period. Louisiana teacher filmed hitting student with electrical cords was fired. See Michael Savage's induction into the Radio Hall of Fame. Security guards at church services as new clientele defecate and masturbate in pews. These are on michaelsavage.com. That story from Sweden will make you scream. The immigrants are being called new clientele. The Muslims that are coming in, the Africans that are coming in, are masturbating and defecating in the church pews. And the Swedes won't do anything about it. They're afraid of them. And the school moms who took over the country arrest anyone who says, ban this type of immigrant. Well, that's the end of 2 hours. There's one more hour coming. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Hours now to talk about assisted suicide because, I mean, I was quite surprised to read that 67% of Christians polled now approve of it. It's a very big topic. It's very, very debatable because it's going to become increasingly popular as time goes on. And there's going to be a bigger push by the government to execute you if your illness is too expensive. Or let's say you have a handicapped child. Well, hey, it's not a useful member of society. You know, just euthanize it. It's not the modern thing to do. It's not perfect. I mean, if your child doesn't look like a supermodel, you may as well consider euthanizing it in the new America. If it's not perfect, what if its eye color is wrong? Or something like that. You know, you may have to be going before a state panel on deciding who lives and who dies. I realize this is a little Swiftian and not that swift. But the fact is the topic's horrible and it's come up again. Then we've talked about what is the biggest example of fake news you've ever seen. It's obvious to me that all those in the news business who said Trump can't win are in the fake news business. Everyone, radio, television, all those who said he can't win, fake news. Any other questions? How about white male inventions? I've got those answers as well. And now the callers, of course, have been holding on so many other topics I touched on. Given that I touch on so many topics, I can't summarize all of them. But the caller should be able to summarize, you know what I mean, by talking about it. I'm going to take an easy one on the issue of Monet versus Manet. It's an interesting question. Mark on KKOH in Reno. Go ahead, please. Tell us how we know the difference between Monet and Manet.
Dr. Savage, it's kind of easy. Monet does landscapes. Manet does portraits. And all of the skin color on his portraits is Manet's color.
So it's Monet, Manet, and mayonnaise. Now I'm confused. Monet, Manet, and mayo.
Manet.
Which of the two painters, wasn't it Manet who did repeat copies of water lilies?
That's Monet.
See, I got it mixed up. It's very hard. Monet. I got to figure a way to say Mo. I can't relate it to water lilies.
Fur lily.
So Monet did landscapes. Monet, right?
Yes. And Manet used mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise does Hellman's.
He does people, and they're all mayonnaise colored. So Manet. There you go. If I could throw
mayonnaise. Huh?
I'm sure you already. If I could throw one political thing in there, then I'm
wait
sure
a minute. I got an. So in other words, Manet does men. Monet does landscapes. Okay, I got an easy way to remember it.
Okay, so it works for you. This is good. Most people don't know that crossing the border with improper documentation is a misdemeanor.
Yes.
To be a
felony. And
if it were a felony, all of those sanctuary places would be harboring felons. It would come to a screeching halt.
Well, the mayors of those cities are felons. They're aiding and abetting illegal immigration. They're all felons, and I think the new federal government may have to consider a legal action against the mayors and locking them up.
I agree.
And I'll tell you something else. Look, Mark, they're making believe right now, all these mayors of sanctuary cities, like they're going to be tough against Trump. They're lying, all of them. When push comes to shove and the federal dollars are cut off, they'll squeal like stuck pigs and go along with the federal government.
Absolutely.
And they'll suddenly won't be catering to the illegal alien lobbies anymore. They know which way the bread is buttered. That's all I can tell you. Where are they going to get the money for the pensions from? The criminal pensions that they've been giving out. Where's it all going to come from? They're broke anyway.
Good point.
All right, my friend. Manet does men. Monet does landscape. See, I learned something today. That's how I remember things. I create my own systems of memorizing. I mean, I know the art, but I can't. Sometimes I mix up Mo and Ma. Monet and Manet. Now let's go on to a serious topic, the assisted suicide. Not one Jewish religious Jew called on it. I don't know. I think it's not allowed, I don't think. Is there a rabbi in the house? But a real one, please. Not a guy from the Diamond District who read the Torah three times. Please, just a real rabbi, a real scholar I would like. Not Yankel Pippick on 47th Street giving me a call to try and gain points that he got on the show. KBE. It's an in-joke. I'm trying to have fun. If it insulted you, I apologize in advance, not. KBET, Nicole, line one, go ahead, please.
I'm a Christian against assisted suicide, and the whole point of the Christian walk in life is to learn to love the Lord and submit to His will, not our will, and that's what faith is. We walk by faith, not by sight. And we learn and grow from going through painful and dark times in our life. It's not fun. It's really nasty and messy sometimes. But we grow, and so do the ones around us. And my husband's faith was positively impacted by watching a friend's mother die a horrible death, a long, drawn-out death from cancer, and she was really relying on the Lord to get her through that. And that impacted my husband and put him closer to accepting Christ himself and his own life. And I just have to say that if life was perfect and pain-free, we would have no death and we'd have no faith. And, you know, we can't play God, and I think it's just like abortion. We're playing God when we do the assisted suicide thing, when we decide when we should die. And
well, Nicole, you know, your point is the traditional Christian one, which I respect greatly, and I'm wondering why the latest survey says 67% of Christians now approve of euthanasia. I was quite surprised by that discovery.
Yeah, I believe that that term's been hijacked. I believe that the New Age movement, there are so many people that claim to be Christian nowadays that don't even believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. In other words, they're nominally Christian. They're lapsed Christians, and they got thrown into the pool of those surveyed. I get it.
Yeah, they think it's like being a Boy Scout. They join a club because they go to some big church.
They wear the kerchief, and they know the hand signal. Okay. Nicole, thank you so much for calling the program. I still, you know, but, you know, still in all, when you put yourself in that position, what if you are suffering pain that you can't bear, and there's no medicine to stop that, kill the pain, what are you going to do? And you're crying out, and you want your relatives to terminate your life. I mean, really, it's a horrible thought. Just terrible. But it happens every day of the week, if not every second of every day of the week, with someone in some hospital somewhere. And more people are opting out of life because they can't take the pain anymore. Now, I would raise the question of why can't drugs be used to allay... See, I'd like to hear from a pain management specialist who can tell me if in fact there aren't drugs today that can kill any pain without turning you into a corpse, as someone said earlier. Again, I have a very limited knowledge of this area. I'm not an expert in pain management whatsoever. I suffer too much of it myself to know anything about controlling it. But my variety is the psychic kind. I just turn it into other things. I take my pain, and I turn it into the poetry of my radio show. I do other stuff with it. But the thing is, not everyone has the ability to take it and turn it. They can't take it. They really crack up from it. So, years ago, there used to be a thing called Bromley's Mixture. I remember in the 70s, Bromley's Mixture. And I believe it was given in Europe and in UK hospitals, but it was not allowed in America. Then I heard it was allowed in cancer wards. Is there a nurse or a doctor in the house who knows something about this? Isn't there, in fact, medicine that's strong enough to kill any pain without, you know, killing you or completely annihilating your all your sensations? I remember that my uncle, may rest in peace, he was a wonderful guy, strong man, and a vegetarian his whole life. I never heard of a vegetarian. He was the only one in the family who was a vegetarian. The guy was a stocky guy, strong. He ran in the New York Marathon in the 1930s. I couldn't believe pictures of him in shorts with a number on him. It was so unusual for my socioeconomic level to even think anyone ran in a marathon. And he did. He was athletic, vegetarian, never smoked. I don't think he drank. Anyway, as the years went on, I think it was in his 70s, he got cancer. And it got bad, and it got really worse. And he lay dying in a hospital in New York. And I remember my aunt, the one I always talk about, the strong one, the Russian one, went in that hospital room and cursed out the young intern or the doctor who was in there. And she screamed at him. He was moaning and begging for painkiller to put him out of his misery. And she screamed at the doctor, "You can't kill and you can't cure. What good are you?" See, that's the woman that I always liked the most because she knew everything. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
We went up and down in the elevator, took the tower ride, and that's it. Giuliani out of running for any position in the Trump administration, not just Secretary of State, he's all of them. They say he withdrew, that he passed with flying colors, but he decided not to take it. I don't believe a word of it. What I think happened, and I'm not smearing Giuliani, he's a fine man, but you know, any one of these appointments has to pass these terribly grueling hearings, okay? So, he's a great man, a wonderful mayor, but I'm sorry to tell you, they probably ran this by a full team and realized that he may not have, passed the hearing in some way. There could be something there. There is some, there's some past there. And I, you know, there's always something. He was a fine U.S. attorney, wonderful mayor. And I think that he became a liability. That's what I think. There was some kind of liability, and they would waited a long time to go through it to see if they could overcome it. And I don't want to dig into it, but so who's going to be a Secretary of State? I hope not that idiot Bolton, the man who got us into Iraq and still wants to beat the war drums, not the loser Romney or Corker. I still don't know who they're going to pick for that important position. That's one of the most important of all positions. Look what Hillary Clinton did with it. And look at all the positions that they appoint as Secretary of State. So pray to God that the RNC doesn't force Romney down our throats. You know, I don't know what's going to happen to this so-called movement of Trump's that I was a big part of if they pick Romney. I don't think that this administration will survive it in the long run. I do not think that the Eddies out there who voted, the deplorables, the Eddies, the Edas, the Ediths, I don't think they're going to go along just because they're told to go along with it. I think that Romney would be the worst disaster that could ever happen to Donald Trump, no matter what the RNC wants. Senator Johnson says Trump's wall is shovel-ready and not that expensive. All right, you know, when they start digging the foundation for it, let me know. I'll go down there with a hard hat. I even bought the hard hat. President-elect Donald Trump's proposed wall on the U.S.-Mexico border can be expected next year for low cost, according to a Republican senator who chairs the committee overseeing immigration. That's interesting. Says Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. And he said, fencing actually works, so we need better fencing. Oh, now it's fencing? I thought it was a wall. I thought he was talking about a wall. Now it's a fence? Is he fencing with the truth here? He's talking about walls, and now he's talking about fences. He is fencing with the truth. So the nice thing about fencing, particularly if you have double fencing with a road in between the fencing, okay, now it's a fence, not a wall. Okay. Now he's back to the wall, though. So from my standpoint, the wall is a metaphor. The wall may be viewed somewhat as a metaphor. Oh, here we go. Well, everything's a metaphor. Drain the swamp is a metaphor. They really didn't mean drain the swamp. They didn't mean drain the swamp. That was a metaphor. They meant take some of the serpents out of the swamp and leave the rest in. And they meant add water to it, to the black swamp. Pour more ink into it. So now he's saying the wall is just a metaphor. I don't think we need 1,700 miles of it, but we need far better fencing than we've got. Now we're up to fences. The wall is a term to help understand it now, Ross said, Republican Dennis Ross. It really means security. Now, there's we stupid people out there. Me, a shock jock, idiot moron that I am. You, the dumb Eddies, the deplorables. You didn't know what a wall was. When you went to the rallies and you heard wall, you didn't know it wasn't the wall. You thought it meant wall, but he really meant security or a fence. But you weren't smart enough to understand the metaphor. If only you had a high enough IQ, or if only I were not a shock jock and could have understood it, I would have known it when he said, I'm going to build that wall at every rally. It meant security, or it meant a fence. See, it's just that we don't have nuance. We're not as clever as Leon DiCaprio or as smart as Martin Scorsese. Anyone else who goes in the elevator and goes up the tower, they understood that it meant fence. They never thought it would be a wall. How silly can you be? What are we living in East Berlin? We didn't want a Berlin wall. It's stupid to take it so seriously. It was a metaphor. No wall. May not even be a fence. That could be a metaphor, too, for something. In other words, if we thought that it meant the wall and it was really a metaphor for security or a fence, in 2 months we could hear that didn't even mean it was a fence. Wall. What does wall mean? Wall, the Great Wall of China. We didn't mean that. Wall. Something like, I don't know, an electronic wall, like a bug zapper? Yeah, there you go. We meant the bug zapper across the border. Something that kills gnats and flies. We'll put that up. And if a fly comes over the border, it'll get zapped. But will that stop the flow of contraband and illegals? No, we didn't mean that either. No one's illegal. There is no contraband. There are no illegals either. They're just human beings who can vote. So let's forget about the wall. The Republicans are already redefining what a wall means. We needed Senator Johnson to tell us what a wall is. You hear this? The swamp is really looking cleaner right now. Johnson's fellow Republican Rep. Dennis Ross of Florida said the wall is a term to help understand it. To describe it. That's what he said. That's great. So all the double talkers are now telling us we, the dummies, didn't know what the word wall meant. We were misinformed. Okay, good. I'm glad I learned something today. How about you? You feel better knowing that a wall is not a wall?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. What is the biggest... I don't want to repeat myself. This was getting me upset. Instead, what I think I will do is play Charles Schumer crying while praising Dirty Harry Reid for making him the man he is today. And just think, we were one heartbeat away from seeing Schumer on the Supreme Court. Listen to this crybaby in clip number three. This is Chuck Schumer of New York City.
He's one of the most unique men that any of us, will ever meet. Truly one of a kind. And I've been lucky to call him my colleague, my mentor, my friend.
Are they all on meds?
Harry, I would not be the senator nor the man I am today without you. I can only say thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Chuck Schumer, U.S. Senator.
So, folks, it'll be quite some time
Dirty Harry
until we see another like Harry Mason Reed. Until then, this portrait will have to do.
Oh, my God. Thank God there's only a portrait left of him in the Senate. What damage this man has done. But, you know, there's a bigger question. Are most of the senators who break down in tears, are they on medication? When have grown men, especially men in leadership positions, cried so much as over the last 8 years? One crybaby, a Boehner, a crier. A man doesn't cry in public. I don't understand this. I was raised to be a man. Remember I was telling you yesterday, they're giving lessons in Russia on how to be a man? My father told me how to be a man, and one of the things he told me is don't cry in public. Number two, don't wear shorts in public. So what's with Schumer crying on the floor of the Senate over Harry Reid? I don't get this. It's got to be meds, my guess. I think it's weakening an entire generation of men. That's why the country is so divided. But, you know, look, I see the hard men that Trump is supporting. It's awesome. It's awesome to see all these uniforms, and I mean real uniforms. I don't mean the Potemkin generals that Obama created overnight, the Cracker Jack box generals that Obama made overnight. You know who I'm talking about. The university girls who he turned into generals. Yeah, the university boys that he made into Air Force generals who never flew an airplane. Now we got real men there. It's going to be amazing. But I don't want to talk about the crying thing. I'd rather talk. And by the way, if you're a liberal, I would suggest, here's a good stock tip for you. Speaking of crying, I was thinking about it. I want to be kind to you, progressives out there. If you want to make a good investment, invest in the company that owns the Kleenex Tissue Company, because there's going to be a tsunami of tears coming over the next 4 to 8 years. And I would think Kleenex stock is a very good investment for the progs out there. You're going to be weeping and weeping and weeping to see your world dissolving in front of your eyes. The world you thought you had created that was going to take over the entire world, it just crumbled in front of your eyes. And we, that is the Savage Nation audience, did it. I, the shock jock leader. We built this army of savage voters. We got Trump through the primaries. We got him through the election. And there he is. Is he perfect? No. Is he appointing everyone we want? No. Is he flawed? Yes. Is he appointing libs here and libs there? Yes. But in the area of national security, I sleep better at night already, knowing that we got the real hard men in there, the generals. I want to see more generals. I want to see more combat generals everywhere. More. I want to see uniforms. I want to feel as though I'm living in Eisenhower's time again. I loved living in Eisenhower's time. I was a little boy. I felt safe as an American. There were Nike missile batteries on my street corner. I lived in Queens in an attached house, New York. There was actually a Nike missile battery on my corner. I don't want to see Nike missile batteries, I'm saying. But you felt protected. All the science fiction movies of those days, if you look back like on The Thing, whenever like The Thing was attacking America, they always showed a picture of the Pentagon. It was all like strong generals. No one was crying over The Thing. No one was shaking, calling Wolf Blitzer to see what to do. It was an amazing country in those days. Trump very much represents the 50s again. And no one has said that, but it's true. That's why we voted for him, why we love him. It's going to be a stronger country, a better country, a safer country, a more prosperous country. And it will still be a flawed country, an imperfect country. In this mix today on this shock jock show, because don't take me seriously. I'm not a serious man. Look, after 30 books, a PhD, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame, I'm only a shock jock, so pay no attention to what I say. The really important people are to be seen on CNN, Fox News, MSNBC. These are the important ones. Even university professors. They're the most important thinkers of our time. Or actors. Leon DiCaprio, a genius in science, engineering, geopolitical things. It's guys like Leo DiCaprio. These are the true intellectual giants of our time. I and talk radio, just a mere shock jock. And so since I'm merely a shock jock, I can say whatever I want. And so I then want to talk about this as well as the above. And it's something I did first on December 15th, 1999. Would you believe this? Today is December 9th, 2016, in case you haven't checked your calendar. But on December 15th, 1999, I published an article entitled White Male Inventions. And it set off shockwaves at the time. It was called White Male Inventions, and it began like this. Trains, planes, cars, rockets, telescopes, tires, telephones, radios, television, electricity, atomic energy, computers, fax machines, all miracles made possible by the minds and spirit of men with names like Ampere, Bell, Caselli, Edison, Ohm, Faraday, Einstein, Cohen, Teller, Shockley, Hertz, Marconi, Morse, Popov, Ford, Volta, Michelin, Dunlop, Watt, Diesel, Galileo, and other dead white males. See, that was the interesting thing. Now, I realize that there's a big movement on the campus, the campuses of America now, by totally brain-dead people who never belonged on campuses to begin with. They are slaves of the communist ideology who say that white people are no good, whites are this, whites are that, white privilege. So I feel, and in my own shock jock way, I have an obligation to counter that argument. Now, don't take me seriously. What you should do is listen to the professors at colleges who tell you whites are no good, that there's white privilege, and that people of color are the people who will save the world. I would say first, before you do that, listen to me, the shock jock, and study all of the white male inventions that you're using, including why, oh, the keyboard that you're going to use to hate me. Yeah, white male invention. The computer, wait, white male invention. Wait. Wait a minute now. The electric light bulb above your head, white male invention. Wait, more. But wait a minute now. We can't change that, can we? Well, you can if you teach at Harvard. You can change it into anything you want because you're not a shock jock. You can do anything you want because you're serious. So here we are in the Savage Nation. I mean, we saved the world. The fact is, we did save the world. I realize I'm only a shock jock. I recognize that I'm not an important man like, so many important people out there who are so important in their own mind. But I know I'm not important. I know I'm merely a shock jock. But, you know, I do what I can in my own way. I know that I and my audience elected Donald Trump. And in so doing, we shifted the entire axis of the earth. It's affected not only America, not only the politics of America, not only the culture of America, but the politics and culture of the world. It's all because of you, the Savage Nation. But again, I'm only a shock jock, so, you know, you don't have to take that seriously either. We have to listen to important men tell us who the important men are and the important women are. But I want to talk about more important questions than that question about us saving the world. And I would say that a very interesting question for me today is, well, this issue of fake news. What is the biggest example of fake news you have seen, let us say, in the last year? I can give you several examples of my own, but I'd rather you call in on that topic. And here's another question that I'd like to cover on. A new survey came out stating that two-thirds of Americans and the majority of Christians say that physician-assisted suicide is morally acceptable. I thought that was a very interesting article in CNS News, and it's a survey by Lifeway Research reported that 67% of Americans believe it is morally acceptable for a terminally ill patient to seek a doctor's help in ending their life, including majority call themselves Christians. I would love to hear from traditional Christians on this issue, as well as, listen to me, Orthodox Jewish people. Do you accept that as well in the Orthodox Jewish community? Is physician-assisted suicide morally acceptable to you? My problem with physician-assisted suicide is quite simple. In Holland, for example, and other twisted nations of the Low Countries, which has a double meaning these days, the Low Countries are now accepting physician-assisted suicide for children as young as 12 or 14 years old, I read. Like if a child is 12 and he doesn't feel good, they give him the needle now. It's crazy. You see, you got to watch out where this goes. Trains, planes, cars, rockets, telescopes, tires, radios, television, white male inventions. I know you don't want to hear it. I know it's against the grain. I'm sorry. But, you know, the facts are the facts. Would we have atomic physics and electricity if it hadn't been for the ancient Greek philosophers, who, for example, had the idea that all matter consists of tiny atoms? Aristotle in the 5th century BC, if you can even know what BC means, that's 25th century pre-PC, used electric charges to treat gout. Archimedes perceived the center of gravity of solids, cylinders, and spheres. I know they don't teach that in ethnic studies. But from the basic discoveries of Greek civilization, it went to the Romans, and after the fall of Rome, it passed to later Europeans who expanded on this scientific knowledge. In modern times, these ideas were developed by such white males from Europe as Volta, Ampere, Watts, Bell, Edison, and Einstein, who provided the basis for most of the technical wonders of today. All of them dreaded white males. I know they don't teach this in women's studies. Maybe you got your enlightenment from one of the Ivy League institutions of this education. Maybe they taught you that it's all the result of white racism and oppression, that every time a potential Einstein, Edison, or Ford popped up in the third world, a white hit squad would swoop down and eliminate him before he had a chance to prove himself. Or maybe their schools refused to teach him in the language of the day. Maybe they didn't have proper daycare facilities, or maybe our would-be innovator came from a dysfunctional family. But the facts tell us that many of the great men pursued their genius at great personal risk, like the astronomer Galileo, who proved that the Earth revolves around the sun. He and other men of genius and courage refused to be suppressed, even if it meant their lives. They would permit no race, gender, group, or class to keep them from their pursuit of truth and excellence, whatever the cost. And just remember this, all of you psychos on the left. If you eliminate, suppress, or debase the white male, you will kill the goose that laid the golden egg. If you continue to ace him out with affirmative action, exile him from the family, teach him that he's a blight on mankind, then bon voyage to civilization. We will devolve into a third world cesspool. Where has there ever before in history been a group of human beings who have brought about the likes of the Magna Carta, the U.S. Constitution, and the countless life-saving and life-improving inventions that we now enjoy? Now, I'm a student of history. It is certainly true that China did lead the world in technology and commercial inventiveness about 1,000 years ago. They had great coal mining operations, gunpowder, six-masted sailing ships, and intense commercial enterprise. But it all collapsed because the elites, the long-nailed mandarins, centralized control 1,000 years before Mao Zedong and crushed the expansion and inventions. Does this mean we should sit back and let ourselves be governed by someone just because he's a white male? Of course not. It means simply that we shouldn't suppress anyone, including white males. Let our God-given gifts run free in a free and just society, free from the oppression and tyranny of social engineers. If anyone has gifts beyond their own, be he a white male or other, be grateful. Maybe we have gifts that in some small way can contribute something of value as well. Just remember this, we're all in the same boat. We're all on the same planet. Few of us have truly outstanding gifts. And most of us have to humbly accept that there are others around us who are more gifted than we are. In a democratic society, it's not for big brother or big sister to decide who shall thrive and who shall struggle in the hive. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Why people complain? All summer long they scream about the drought in the Bay Area, and it's all they do is weather. They're obsessed with weather here. All summer, drought, drought, drought. Then it rains, and they say, oh, it's too wet, too wet. And Jerry Brown never missed an opportunity to inveigle more laws. The reservoirs are overflowing, the sluice gates are flooding, and he still keeps the drought regulations intact. Why? Because, see, once you give a bureaucrat power, you never, ever see them let go of it. If ever you needed an example of the madness of centralized power, whether it be at a city level, a state level, federal level, don't look any further than the state of California. We don't have a drought. No drought. Zero. Reservoirs are 140% of capacity in some cases. SFO, San Francisco Airport, 130% of normal levels. Still not enough for Jerry Brown. He's still not releasing the drought restrictions. Why? Because they like the control and power over water. Don't you get it? This is what we mean by big government. This is what we are fighting, and this is what we must continue to fight. This is an example of power madness. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts Jerry Brown, absolutely. David, on KLIF, you're going to have the last word out of Dallas, Texas. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage. Earlier caller had a comment about physician-assisted suicide. Reminded me of a story from Tolstoy, the death of Ivan Illich. Guy lives a terrible life, is terrible to his family, and then he has a long, agonizing death where he's screaming and in agony, and he only finds redemption just before he dies. I thought it's just another a perfect...
Wait, hold it. How did he find redemption, though?
Through the thoughts that were stimulated by this long, agonizing death and recognizing the pain he brought upon his family in his lifetime.
Well, Tolstoy was a moralist. As a novelist, I remember that story quite well, the death of Ivan Ilyich. I read it when I was 17 or 18 years old. And what's interesting about that, and thank you for the call, is that the medical description of the onset of cancer in that man, I've talked to several clinicians, they said is identical to the actualities of how cancer onsets in people. The pace, the rhythm, how it starts. And Tolstoy, as an artist, starts by talking about Ilyich on a stepladder hanging a painting, if I'm not mistaken. And he slips on the ladder and hurts himself, just slightly, a little bang. And he said from that little bang, you know, that locus of pain grows into this cancer. I thought it was very intriguing from a clinical point of view, and then, of course, from a moralistic point of view. But I don't believe that we have to suffer to come to any understanding. I have the opposite viewpoint. I believe that the opposite is just as true, if not more so. I believe that truth can come from beauty. I believe that understanding can come from beauty and kindness. I do not believe that that suffering is a requirement to come to enlightenment. That's it from your shock jock, Michael Savage. Have a nice weekend.